So you guys remember what series we're starting? Relationships, yes. We are going to be talking about things like sex, dating. What else is there? Relationships, boy-girl relationships that aren't necessarily dating relationships. We're going to be talking about, ladies, what kind of man you should be looking for. Huh? Not what kind of boy, right? What kind of man you should be looking for. And boys, we're going to be talking to you about what kind of woman to look for. Does that sound good? Just some advice, friendly advice. We're also going to be talking about sex in a different way than you may have ever heard it talked about. But here's one of the things I really want you guys to understand. I think there's a huge misconception about what the church, and actually maybe we should say about what God thinks about sex, what God's ideas about sex are. So we're actually going to explore that. So if you are coming thinking the church thinks this, you know, let's push that aside for a second. We're going to get into the Bible, and we're going to see what God thinks about it. And today's talk is actually about God's the designer. I mean, he created sex. So he knows about it. He's not like, I won't get into the talk yet. That comes a little later. And this is what our whole entire year has been about. Making wise choices in a foolish world. All right. Today's talk, we got a clip. It's from Evan Almighty. Just to set it up, we're getting into the clip. He's taken off in his Hummer because these animals are following him, and he's trying to get away. So that's we're picking it up, the story up then, there. God has already called him and said, you know, I want you to build an ark, and he's like, I think I'm going crazy. So, Darcy, if you want to hit the clip, it's about 4 minutes. In the clip, a couple things I wanted to note. First of all, God's not a man. Morgan Freeman is a man. God's not a man. He doesn't have a body. He doesn't have body parts. He doesn't walk around. He's not black, white, whatever. He's not a man. Okay? Just to let you know that. Secondly, the way he changed the world is not one random kind act at a time. That's really shallow, actually. I was like, when I first watched the clip, watched the movie, I'm like, oh, cool. They're going to answer this question. They're like, and I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Oh, come on. I mean, it's a nice concept and everything. But Jesus has a much better way of changing the world that we live in. And it starts by your heart changing. Just doing, you know, random acts of kindness may not change anything. And it might, you know, it's not that those are things are bad. But what God desires is heart change. He wants your heart to change. So that when those acts of kindness come out of your heart, they come out of Jesus living inside of you. And you want to honor God. And so what we want to do throughout this series talking about relationships, we always want to have in our minds this question. Does this relationship honor God? And if so, how? And if not, how can we make it honor God? Okay? And that's any relationship. That can be relationships between, boyfriend, girlfriend, buddies, girlfriends, whatever, mom and dad, parents, children, every relationship. The cool thing about what God kind of, when he created us and created us in his image, God is a relational being. And he created that in us. That's part of the image of God that we bear, is the fact that we are relational. We like living in relationship. Very few people have been able to move away by themselves and be happy. I mean, there's, you may think that would be nice, but for a very short time, after a while, there's something in us that desires relationship. And the Bible even says it in the very first chapter of Genesis, or second, oh, I got it here anyway. First or second chapter of Genesis, it's not good for man to be alone. And he wasn't just talking about the fact that men need women, because, you know, we really actually do need women. if it wasn't for women, okay, I'll tell this story. I don't have time, but I'm going to do it anyway. I have 3 kids. I have a girl that's 5, a little boy that's 3, and a little girl that's 7 months. And their development is way different. And this is what I was thinking the other day. I'm just like, my little girl is sharp. She is, like, really sharp. Smart. She gets stuff right away. She's just like, bang, bang, bang. And I'm like, the other day, I'm like trying to teach my little boy how to put a little puzzle together. Like, it's... And I'm like going nuts. I'm like, I seriously was scared that I wonder if he has like a learning disability or something. I'm like, I don't. This is seriously what's going through my head. But it's part of it is this, you know, this development stage with boys and girls is so different. And little girls are able to grasp that stuff really quickly, and usually little boys aren't. And so, when I was thinking about, you know, God's intention, how he created us, I'm like, we definitely needed women. God knew that right from the start, okay? So ladies, I hope you're encouraged already. This is going to be good for you. We need women. Okay. Here's, I want to just give really quickly, kind of give you a glimpse into my life as a teenager. It may seem like a long time ago, but for me, it's like yesterday. So here's what I struggled with. I grew up in the church, and I heard guys talking about sex all the time. Pastors, let's make this really specific. I grew up in church, going to youth group, and I only heard kind of one side of the story when it came to sex. And it always seemed to be in the negative. And it always seemed to be that sex was a bad thing. And I think that actually played a really negative role in how I viewed sex growing up. It made me think it was kind of dirty. It made me think different things. And we had some good youth pastors, and I may have heard some good things, but you know what? I just, for some reason, the negative stuff was stuck in my head, okay? Really struggled with that. I'm one of those kids, I have to know why. Why is the ultimate question? And so when somebody's telling me something or preaching from the Bible or whatever it was, a pastor, whoever, I'm like, well, why? Why? Tell me why. You can't just tell me this and not tell me why. You can't just give me these rules and not tell me why. This got me in a lot of trouble growing up because, you know, my dad, he was a great guy. I love my dad. He was awesome, or is awesome. He's still alive. even after having three boys. I'm sure it was really frustrating for my dad. There actually was a time when this isn't part of my message, but I had a real struggle with my dad for a long time. But let's go on from there. I totally lost my train of thought on that one. Sorry. Why? So, my dad wasn't very good at explaining why. He was a new Christian. He's the first Christian in a line of, you know, crazy hillbilly people from Virginia. And he didn't have a lot of the answers. Didn't grow up in a Christian home, didn't grow up going to church. And so I'm this kid, I want to know why. And he didn't have a lot of the answers. So it was really hard for me. And so when pastors and stuff were talking about sex and talking about you need to wait till you're married and all this kind of stuff, I wanted to know why. And they would read reasons, but I just like, no, I want to know why. I want to know why God made it that way. Not, you know, I know God says that we need to flee from sexual immorality. I know he says these things, but why did God create us so that we have to wait till marriage for sex? That seems weird. He gave us the ability to have pleasure. He created sex. Well, why? So, hopefully, if you are one of those people that likes to ask why, this series will be good for you. Because that's basically answering this question for the next 2 months. Is why? Why did God make it this way? So, right, basically today I need you to remember one thing. And that's our position as a church and as Christians and as people who believe the Bible. This is what we believe about sex. First of all, sex isn't gross. Okay? That's my experience growing up. It was bad, negative, gross. Okay? For a lot of you guys who haven't grown up in the church, you haven't experienced that. So you're like, whoa. Unless it's your mom and dad, right? It is gross. Come on. I got to hear it. Oh, gross. By the way, yes, your mom and dad do have sex. That's why you're here. Nice. Excellent. Now everybody's nervous. Excellent. Yeah. So first of all, we don't, as a church, believe that sex is bad, that sex is a terrible thing, that it's dirty, that it's gross. We don't believe that. Okay? Secondly, the other extreme is that sex is God. Okay? And sex is one of the gods of our culture. In fact, in I think week 4 of this series, we're going to talk about how sex is the main god of our culture. And I'm going to show you lots of statistics. I'll give you a little glimpse. There is more money spent on pornography than all the pro sports combined in 1 year. Seriously. It's a $10 billion. It's averaged, I think over the last, I can't remember how many years, all my statistics are for another talk, but I think it's like 10 years. The average has been $10 billion. It's more than that right now, and was 10 years ago was less. But that's crazy, right? That's huge industry. We have temples to sex everywhere. There's strip clubs. There's, you know, sometimes the movie theaters are temples to sex. Sometimes they can be. There's like the triple X video stores. There's all these temples where people go to worship sex. Okay? And you may be wondering about how that works. That will be explained in the talk about sex being the god of our culture. Okay? That's in a few weeks. We don't believe that. Okay? We don't believe that. And, in a couple more weeks, if you're interested in this, like, how can sex be a god? Then come to that talk. I'll explain it clearly. I can't do it in like 3 minutes, okay? Which is basically what we already have left. It's horrible. Okay. So that leaves us with one other option. So sex is not gross. It's not God. We don't worship it. It's not our master. It doesn't control us. We're not slaves to it. It's a gift. Okay? Sex is a gift. And next week, we're going to explore that a little bit more. But first of all, I want you guys to kind of let you in on a couple of things. Since our position is that sex is a gift of God, you need to know why that we believe that. So you can turn in your Holy Bibles to page 3. Woo! Right off the bat. The book of Genesis. Genesis means beginning. So, this is the beginning of the Bible. We are going to read from chapter 1, verse 24. There's a little 24 instead of in front of it. It's on page 3. You guys ever find it? It's right before page 4. That's the joke every week. All right. Then God said, okay, God had just made a whole bunch of stuff. He just created a whole bunch of stuff. And then God said, let the earth produce every sort of animal, each producing offspring of the same kind. Livestock, small animals that scurry along the ground, and wild animals. And that is what happened. God made all sorts of wild animals, livestock and small animals, each able to produce offspring of the same kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make human beings in our image, to be like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground. So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and govern it. Reign over the fish in the sea, and the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground. Then God said, look, I have given you every seed-bearing plant throughout the earth and all the fruit trees for your food. And I have given every green plant as food for all the wild animals, the birds in the sky and the small animals that scurry along the ground, everything that has life. And that is what happened. Then God looked over all he had made and he saw that it was very good. And evening passed and morning came, marking the sixth day. So on the sixth day of creation, God created human beings. He created them in his own image. And we already talked about having this relational capacity in us. That's part of what God put in us. We have this desire for relationship. And it's not just a desire for relationship with other people. There's also a desire for relationship with something other, something bigger than us, something more. And all of us have inside of us something. Some people call it a soul. Some people call it, you know, whatever. But there's something in us that that knows there's something else besides us, that knows that we came from somewhere. There's something in us that kind of calls out for something bigger than us. Because when we look around at the world, you can't help but think, wow, there's got to be something or someone bigger than us. Okay, the Bible tells us who that is. The Bible tells us that that's God. And he created us for a purpose. And he created us good. Now the next part of the story, it's on the next page actually. Page 4. And it's, chapter 2, verse 8, 9, and then we're going to skip down to verse 15. Okay, the title over top of it is The Man and Woman in Eden. Then the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he placed the man he had made. The Lord God made all sorts of trees grow up from the ground, trees that were beautiful, that produced delicious fruit. In the middle of the garden he placed the tree of life, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now you can skip down, because he made some rivers there. We'll skip down to 15. Those are good too, but let's keep going. The Lord God placed man in the Garden of Eden to tend and watch over it. But the Lord God warned him, you may freely eat the fruit of every tree in the garden, except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you eat its fruit, you are sure to die. Then the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper who is just right for him. That's why girls are smart. They're just right for us. So the Lord God formed the ground, all the wild animals and all the birds of the sky. He brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And the man chose a name for each one. Okay, got to picture this. Like, there's a lot of animals. Like, he's coming up with names out of nowhere. I mean, this is one smart dude, Adam. just think about it. I mean, if you were just going to decide to give people names, like if someone came up to you and you didn't want to tell them your name, you'd be like, I'm Tom. You know, one name is hard work. But Adam is like naming all the animals, like every animal, insect, everything. He named them. That's pretty cool. He brought them to the man to see what he would call them, and the man chose a name for each one. He gave names to all the livestock, all the birds of the sky, and all the wild animals. But still, there was no helper just right for him. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while the man slept, the Lord God took out one of the man's ribs and closed up the opening. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib, and he brought her to the man. At last, the man exclaimed. I'm sure he did. Then you'll see why in a minute. This is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She will be called woman because she is taken from man. This explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. This is why he exclaimed. Now the man and his wife were both naked, but they felt no shame. He knew that she was the one. He's like, I want that one. These other ones, no good. That one, I want her. All right. So we don't have time to go through this, the whole deal here, guys, today. So we're going to pick this talk up next week. But here's what I need you to know. I want you to know that we were created perfect. There's a whole bunch of wild beliefs out there that there was no sex before the fall. That's garbage. I don't believe that at all. I think that's craziness. God tells the humans to multiply and fill the earth, but you know, it'd be like, he made them with these parts, and then the guy's like, woohoo, I like her. And he's like, okay, you guys, you know, be friends, have fun, walks away, and then comes back, he's like, what are you doing? Oh, no. I can't believe it. No, that's not what God did, okay? That's not who God is. He created them man and wife, and he created them for a purpose. And we're his design, and we're going to pick this up next week, and we're going to talk about sex being a gift, and we're going to explain that and why that's our position. But this is kind of that foundational kind of thinking that you need to realize that God designed us, and he designed us for a purpose. And that when you look at a man and a woman, and most of you guys have been to sex ed, so you realize that, oh, this, you know, these are the same species. You know, these parts and these parts, oh yeah, they're meant to be together, right? So there you go. That's how God designed it. It wasn't an accident. Okay? So you have, this is kind of the first thing that you need to know. And you guys, hold on a second. We're just done in like a few seconds. The reason you need to know that is because when you come up with questions about, well, how come? One of the first things that needs to be in your mind is, well, okay, God created it. He knows. God created sex. God created relationships. Therefore, it's obvious, right, that if somebody creates something or makes something, they know what it's made for and how it's how it works best. And so that's why we have this talk. We have to understand that God created us. He made us the way we are. He designed us. We are His masterpiece. We're the last part of creation, the pinnacle of His creation. He created us in His own image. This is an incredible honor. Nothing else in creation, even the angels, don't have this. They were not created in the image of God. Very cool. All right, we're going to go to our small groups, but I'm going to pray before we go. The discussion is it's about relationships, of course. Okay. So I just want to pray for you guys, and I'm excited. At the same time, I'm kind of nervous about this talk, because I know for a lot of you guys, this may be the first time you've heard someone talk about sex the way we're going to talk about it, okay? I'm excited about it, but I'm nervous. It's always nervous talking to people who are like, I've never heard that before. but that's exciting too. So I hope you guys join us for the next couple months, because I think it's going to be fun. It's going to be a fun series. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you created us the way you did. We are, awesome. Like it's amazing how you created us, how we were able to think and how we were able to relate to other people, all the abilities that we have, the ability to think, and just really cool, Lord. You really made a masterpiece with humanity. Father, thank you that we bear your image. What an honor. And Lord, that's why we want to honor you with our relationships. And so, Father, I just pray over the next couple of months that you would open our hearts to what you have to say. Lord, you designed us. You made us. You know what's best for us. You love us. The things you do are because you love us. You made us and designed us the way you have because of love. And so, Lord, I just pray that you'd help us to trust you and what you have to say about relationships and about sex and about dating and all these things. Father, I just ask that you would open our minds to what you have to say. We just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.